Turn, please, to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 9. I'll read some verses here out of the Scripture. Read the entire chapter. It's just 13 verses. 2 Samuel, chapter 9. Very familiar Scripture, no doubt, this record and account in the Word of God. But it's what's on my heart for the service this morning. And I certainly desire your prayers that the Lord would help us and touch us and realize, as was mentioned in the Sunday school hour, without that touch and power, we can do nothing. Nobody can do anything. So we need Him this morning to touch us and help us to give ourselves to Him. 2 Samuel chapter 9, when you found your place, if you're able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor the reading of the Word of God. 2 Samuel chapter 9, begin reading in verse number 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. We'll restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I've given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. For he did eat continually at the king's table, was lame on both his feet. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach this morning, if God will help me, out of this scripture and this record and the Word of God, on being at the table. I pondered a lot about yesterday and all the things that went on. What a wonderful day that it was, an experience. And the Holy Ghost got to working in my heart through yesterday and through this scripture about the privilege that we have as the people of God to be at the table with the King. Here in this scripture we read the story, and of course we all know the story, and it's familiar unto us, no doubt, about what's going on here. Saul has died in battle, and Jonathan, his son, and now David has assumed the throne. David had been anointed king for many years. God, because of Saul's disobedience, had withdrew himself from Saul and had Samuel anoint David to be the rightful king over the land of Israel. Of course, we understand that Saul was jealous over David and he sought David's life. David spent much of his time running from Saul and from the warriors and the armies that followed after Saul. But now Saul is dead. And so David assumes his rightful place on the throne of the nation of Israel. And of course, in that time, if you study history in the Old Testament, it was commonplace that when a new king arose to power that he commonly killed off all the heirs of those of the seed of the king that was before him, so that there would be no rebellion, so that there would be no uprising, and so that there would be a peaceful transition of power, so that no one down the line could say that they would be the rightful king and cause a confusion and division among the people. And so it was customary for the king to kill off all the heirs of the king or the ruler that was before him. And so now you have to put yourself in Mephibosheth's place. He's lame on both his feet from a fall. We read in the scriptures that when the word came that Saul and Jonathan were dead, that his nurse picked him up and began to run. And as she ran, she dropped him and he fell. And he became lame on both his feet. In Mephibosheth is one of the most beautiful types and pictures of a sinner in all the Word of God. That we became lame on our feet from a fall of Adam. Like the preacher preached last Sunday night, that in Adam sin came and death by sin, and death is passed upon all men from the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden. Now Mephibosheth in Lodabar. That word Lodabar means a place with no pasture or a place with no sustenance. He's living in a desert land with no help and no hope within himself, just like a sinner is. But there comes a blessed day that the Bible said that Ziba, who is the servant of the king, and in this scripture is a type of the Holy Ghost, that he came to where Mephibosheth was. But now in that day and in the type of the sinner, death is hovering over the head of Mephibosheth, just like it is for every sinner, because of the wrath of God, our blessed king. But that day, I'm glad that Ziba and the king does not deal with Mephibosheth in wrath, but he deals with him in mercy, just as it is with every sinner. Though we deserve to die because of our shape and because of who we are and where we are, and that's where Mephibosheth was. He deserved to die, not because of what he had done, but because of who he was. You're not a sinner this morning because you sin, but you sin because you're a sinner. And the wrath of God's not upon you because of what you've done, but the wrath of God hangs over you because of who you are. That's how it was for Mephibosheth. He was the son of Saul, or in the lineage of Saul, the son of Jonathan, the grandson of Saul. Because of that, then wrath and death held over him. But I'm glad the king had mercy. The Bible said, I want to show David called Ziba in, who's the type of the Holy Ghost. David's a type of God the Father. Jonathan is a type of Jesus Christ. And David said, I want to show somebody kindness for Jonathan's sake. And that's the reason if you're here this morning saved, that's the reason you're saved, it's for Jesus' sake. That's the reason God had mercy on you, it's for Jesus' sake. And he sent the servant of the Holy Ghost to where you were. You couldn't get to God on your own account, on your own merit, in your own ability. It took the Holy Ghost to come to where you were. That's why Mephibosheth is such a great type of the sinner. He's lame on both his feet. He can't get to where the king is. So the king has to send a servant to bring him to him. That's what the Holy Ghost did on the day that he put you under conviction and brought you to a place of repentance. He brought you to the king. And when the king had every right to kill you, when the king had every right to judge you and deal with you in wrath, thanks be unto God for Jesus' sake, as it was for Jonathan's sake, our king dealt in grace and mercy and love upon us and put us in the family of God. Amen. That's what David did.
He put Mephibosheth, he said he's going to be like one of my sons. I'm going to make him a part of the family. And that's where you are this morning. You're saved and born again. You're a part of the family. And so because you're a part of the family, you have a right to be at the table. And that's what David gave. He gave so many things unto Mephibosheth on this day. There's so many things we can't cover them all. And that's the reality of being born again. I'm glad I don't have to die and go to hell. I'm glad I get to go to heaven. But there's so much more to it than that. There are blessings that abound in being born again. So much so that you and I can't even name it all as to what we got that day that the Lord saved us and put us in the family of God. The Bible said we received the adoption of sons. So we're a part of the family. And he said it's through that adoption, through that spirit, capital S, that we cry, have a father, and that we have this father and son, or father and daughter relationship with God, our King. But I'm glad that through salvation, the Bible said here in the scripture, in this type of the sinner, now not just a type of the sinner, but a type of the sinner saved by grace, that Mephibosheth is given the right at the words of the King to sit at the King's table as one of the King's sons. Even though he wasn't the King's son, even though he wasn't born into David's lineage, yet the Bible said because of the power that David had, that he made him by the power of his word as one of the King's sons. Ain't that amazing? Do you know how you got born again? It was done through the power of the word of God. Paul said it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Unto us which are saved, we know, even though the world said it's foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I'm glad the word has the power, even in this day, and by the power of the words of the King, Mephibosheth was made a son and given a place at the table. Right. And so now, in this scripture, I read and reread and reread last night and yesterday just worked on my heart and worked on my heart. And the Lord, I'm glad the Lord can use anything, and I'm glad he does use anything. And it began to work in me. Four times in this scripture the word table's mentioned. And it never has anything to do with Mephibosheth. It all has to do with David. David calls it his table in three of the verses. And in the fourth verse it's titled the King's table. So the table does not belong to Mephibosheth. It belongs to David. But because of the love and the mercy and the grace of David, Mephibosheth is given a spot at the table. Now you and I can't thumb our galluses and think we are something because we're at the table. It's not our table, but it's his table. But it's because of his grace and his love and his mercy that you and I have a place at his table this morning. And if it's his table, then that's the place where we get with him. I began to think about yesterday and just sat there in my room last night and asked the Holy Ghost just to speak to my heart. I don't know how you study. I don't know how you talk to God. But sometimes I just say, Lord, tell me what you want me to know. And I just kind of close my eyes and sit in silence. And he began to speak to me about what went on yesterday and worked in this scripture. And the first thing he spoke to my heart is that the table is a place where we get fed. What a blessing to be at God's table and get fed from God's supply. That meant that if Mephibosheth was sitting at David's table, that Mephibosheth wasn't eating Mephibosheth's groceries, that Mephibosheth wasn't eating Mephibosheth's bread or Mephibosheth's meat, but he is getting the King's meat and the King's bread and the King's groceries. And here we have come this morning by this way in this little church on the side of the road, and we've sat down in heavenly places this morning around the table of the King. And if we're going to get fed this morning, we ought to count it a joy and a privilege to be at the table with the King, getting fed by the King and enjoying his presence at the table. Amen. We went yesterday, and that's the place we sat down at the table, and that's where we got fed. And I thought about,
There wasn't no big I's and little E's at the table. We just shared and shared alike. And that's how it is at God's table. Ain't no big I's, little E's. It's all by grace. Ain't a one of us deserved to be there. Not a one of us did anything on our own to get there. But not a one of us could even bring ourselves there. Even after he was changed, even after he had mercy showed on him, which is a type of salvation, he was still lame on his feet. He still had to be carried at the table. You'll not come anytime you want to, but I'm glad the Holy Ghost every now and again picks us up and carries us to the table and sets before us the food that our soul can eat and be nourished and satisfied in this life. Thank God for the food. I'm glad for the good food around God's table. But I'm glad the table's not just all about food. But I thought, you know, yesterday the food was good. It really was. And I thank God for the times I've come into the house of God and the food's just been good. I mean, just been good. The preaching, the word. I thank God for Sunday night. The food was good. It's good for me to be able to sit down and hear the preaching of the word of God. The food was good. It helped my heart. It encouraged my soul. But I'm glad it's not just all about the food, but there's fellowship that goes on at the table. I'm glad yesterday we sat down and we talked. And I got to watching. And I'm bad to watch folks. But I got to watching. Folks was getting up. You know, they set us at three different tables. And folks got to getting up and going to this table and that table and talking. Well, you know why? Because fellowship was desired. Now, we get around God's table. I'm glad there's some fellowship going on. I'm glad there's fellowship, mutual fellowship between us, as spiritual, as the believers, your fellowship with me and me with you when we're in the house of God. I feel like when we come into the house of God and the Holy Ghost comes around and we get to sitting around the table, I might not be looking back at your expressions and you may not see mine, but I'm glad there's a fellowship that goes on between the hearts of the people of God. But what promotes that fellowship, what the basis of that fellowship is that our spirits bearing witness with his spirit, is that we're fellowshipping with him, and when we all fellowship with him, we all fellowship together. Thank God for a place of fellowship. And I thought it might end there, you know. I thought food and fellowship, that about sums up the table. And I actually went on and began to read some more in the scripture and think about some other things. And the Lord, the Holy Ghost, put the brakes on me and said, hang on just a minute, I wasn't done. He said, it's at the table where you find out some stuff about the others at the table. I begin to think, now I don't want to embarrass nobody or point nobody out, you know. But I begin to think, you know, we gathered up yesterday and they asked me to say something down. Kelsey did before we said the blessing. We found out that they're going to have a baby, and thank God for that. Praise the Lord. We found out something we didn't know. I'm glad there have been some days at the table that the Lord sent me to find out a little bit more about him. I mean, that's what the writer wrote, ain't it? More and more about Jesus. I would know more of his blessed presence. No, I'm glad sitting at the table you can find out some things you might not have known yesterday, but you need to know for tomorrow. I'm glad for a place at the table with the Lord, with the Master, with the King, with his people. There are things that go on at the table you can't get anywhere else. You can't get as good as the food was yesterday and as good as the fellowship was. You can't get there what you can get here this morning. You can't get at that table what you can get around his table. I thought about growing up, you know, my grandmother raised me, and I remember at Thanksgiving and Christmas, we always had it at her house, and she didn't want nobody else to cook. She didn't want my mama's help. She didn't want my aunt's help. She didn't want nobody's help. She always cooked, and it wasn't hardly anywhere to sit at the table because there's someone much food on the table. That's back in the day. You know, we've kind of lost tradition, and I know sometimes traditions are bad, but I think about in my mind going back, they used to bring all the food to the table and everybody sat around the table. Now you got them in this room and that room and they ain't talking to one another. There's no fellowship going on. That's not what happens around God's table. He don't let you go in another room and eat by yourself. Thank God there's a place for you at the table. You can't get here. You can't get anywhere else what you can get here. I'm glad it's a place you can find out a little bit more. I thought about, you know, they've been days at the table. They've been days at the table together with us as a church that I've found out some things about you that I didn't know. Maybe you found out some things about me that you didn't know. I'm not talking about bad things or discouraging things. I'm talking about things that lift the spirits. Hey, you know, we come in the house of God and the Holy Ghost will punch in your heart and say, tell them what I did for you this week. And you say, oh, why is that? Because we're all sitting around the table and we're needing to find out some stuff about you from God. I'm not talking about find out about your past. I'll find out about what you've done. I'm talking about find out what he's done. I'm glad to sit around the table every now and again and find out some good information that stirs my heart about what God's done for you. It may be that somebody else is going through trouble and they need to know what God's done for you so that God can show to them he can do the same for them. I'm going to say as good as my grandma's table was growing up. And my wife's a wonderful cook, and I like to sit around, you know, and we have people over, and I love to do that, and she loves to do that. It's a wonderful time. And as good as it was yesterday at the table, I'm going to tell you, God's table is unlike any other. See, the table we went to yesterday, when you got there, you left the same as you did when you got there. You might leave a little fuller, might leave satisfied momentarily. I'm going to tell you, if you ever get around God's table, you'll not leave the same way you come. How many of you ever really get there and start getting fed from yonder? You'll not leave like you come. I thought about it, God's table. It's amazing to me. I don't know how it was in Bible days. I don't know if they had tablecloths. I don't know what they had, but I know that when the Holy Ghost picked up Mephibosheth, or that servant Ziba, who's the type of the Holy Ghost, picked up Mephibosheth and brought him to the table and slid him up under the table that covered his legs. And he looked like everybody else looked. I'm glad when you get to God's table, your problems don't matter. I mean, they just seem to vanish. And all that matters for that moment of time, it's not that you're Mephibosheth lame on your feet, but that you're Mephibosheth, one of the king's sons, given grace to sit at the king's table, to eat what the king's eating, to fellowship with the king, to find out more about the king. I'm glad at God's table, our problems disappear.
Amen.
I've come to the house of God before, weighted down, loaded down with care, problems hanging, maybe problems of my own, maybe somebody else's problems that I love and care about, maybe one of you on my heart, heaven, feel like I'd never get to the table. But I've been in some services where I was carried to the table and seemed like all them problems, all them cares, they just vanished away. And for a few moments, nothing else mattered. It didn't matter that he was Mephibosheth from Lodabar. At that moment when he got to the table, he was the king's son, had a place at the table, eating with the king. I'm going to tell you, it don't matter about your past. It don't matter about how bad your week's been. It don't matter about how old you are. If you ever get to the king's table, that's all that matters is that you're there.
Amen.
All your problems go away. I thought about, hey, several tables mentioned in the Word of God. I thought about when Ruth comes back with Naomi out of Moab, back into the land of Bethlehem, Judea. And they come into Judah there. And she's a gleaner. They were a despised bunch of people. They didn't get, contrary to popular belief, they didn't get what the reapers missed. They got what the reapers didn't want. The reapers were paid to reap the fields. And so they're going to get everything good that was in the field. But if they come to ear corn, I just identify with that. I'm from the country and from the mountains just like you are. You know, I got an ear corn. Maybe shook it down. It's full of worms. They discarded that and threw it to the side. They didn't want that. And the gleaners would come behind them and pick up the ear corn. And I remember growing up, watched my grandma many a day shuck back an ear corn that had worms on it. And she'd cut out the bad parts and keep the good. That's what the gleaners did. And they just try to live from day to day. That's all they could do. They were on the bottom rung of the ladder. Nobody liked them. Nobody cared about them. As a matter of fact, God knew so much about it that he put it in the law that they could not be refused to glean from what would fall on the ground because nobody liked them. Nobody wanted them. And here Ruth is, she's a gleaning in a field and she don't know nothing about it. She just knows it's a good field and they're dropping some stuff and she's doing her best to pick it up, provide for her and her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law's husband's dead, her father-in-law, her husband's dead, her sister-in-law, husband's dead, and she stayed back behind in Moab and it's just Naomi and Ruth. They ain't got nobody to take care of them, don't have no possessions to their name. They're just trying to live from day to day. But lo and behold, the owner of the field comes in one day and his name's Boaz and he's another type of Christ. And Ruth's the type of the church. And he looks out over the field and his eyes fall on her. And he says, "Who is this?" And the servant says, "That's Ruth, the Moabitess damsel that came back home from Moab with Naomi." And he said, "She's been in the field and I've told her not to bother nothing. She's just picking up what she can pick up and then she'll go and leave you alone." Boaz said, "I don't want to leave me alone." He said, "Call her, I want to talk to her." And he called her. Thank God for the day that Boaz called for you and me and brought us to where he was. And he said, "My daughter, don't go to another field. Stay right here where you are. I've commanded the young men not to touch you. If you need something to drink, just come and get out of the well of water that they have dug. Of the well of water that they have drawn. They won't bother you. They'll take care of you. Stay in this field." Right. And that's wonderful enough. But it don't stop there. He said, "And at mealtime, why don't you come on in with them and sit down at my table?" It don't matter that you're not a reaper and you're a gleaner, because at my table your position don't matter. Just come sit at my table. Boy, I'm glad that at God's table our position don't matter. I've walked into some, and I'm not saying anything about myself, Lord knows I'm not, but I've walked into some services, walked into some buildings. I remember back in March walking in at a camp meeting at Brother Ronnie Jones Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he called on me to preach, and I stood up in the pulpit, and I'm bad not to look at folks, it's just how I'm natured, but I look back over that congregation as a call of scripture, and in my heart I said, "Lord, what am I doing here? Why am I standing here with all these men of God?" There's probably 40 or 50 preachers in the congregation, not to mention all the other people, and really in my heart I thought, "What am I doing here?" But there's something come over me, not of myself, to let me know I was doing what I was born into this world to do. And it was my hour. I'll never forget a statement Brother Hanley Mibby said at another church I was pastoring. I had him for meeting, and he got to preaching about David and Goliath, and everybody made fun of David when he walked out on the battlefield. Everybody, even Goliath himself, made fun of him and said, "Am I a dog that you're coming to me with sticks and stones?" But David said, "You may come to me with a spear and a sword." But he said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, of the God of the army of Israel." And Brother Mibby said it was David's hour. And nobody else could do what David could do in his hour. And I'm going to tell you this morning, a preacher or not, if it's your hour, if God's called you to a service, if he's put something on your heart to do, just do what's on your heart. Nobody else can do what you can do with the help of God in your hour. Sometimes we critique ourselves, and I am my own worst enemy and my own worst critic. I mean, I left services sometimes, thought, if that's all I can do, I ain't never going back. I mean, just to pick myself apart. But then I'm glad by the Holy Ghost I'm reminded it's not me anyway. And if it ever does get just to be me, I'm going to take my seat. I mean, I still get up, been preaching for 15 years, pastoring most of those years, and I still get up, my hands tremble, and they get sweaty, and my heart beats out of my chest. I'm as scared this morning as it was the first time I ever stood. I'm not afraid to do what God's called me to do. But there's a holy reverence and fear about doing this great responsibility and to carry the gospel. And I heard an old preacher say, "If it ever goes away, son, just take your seat and don't get back up until it comes on you again." You say, "I'm afraid." You ought to be. It's a great responsibility. But don't sit back there and say, "I can't do what so-and-so can do." It ain't so-and-so's hour. It's your hour. God's called you the time and the task at hand. There's no positions at his table
She got the same parched corn that the reapers got. She dipped in the same morsel of vinegar that the reapers did and Boaz did. And he's on the fellowship with you and show you he loves you despite what you can and cannot do.
Position don't matter at his table. Thank God for that. And I wasn't worthy of standing out there. I mean, I look back over the congregation, there's men that have been preaching longer than I've been alive that were sitting in the congregation. And God knows my heart. I'd have much rather took my seat and let one of them preach, but it was my heir. And thank God for some times it's been my heir. I mean, David was the least of all that day. His elder brothers were down there. They should have been the ones, but it was not their heir. It was David's heir. If it's your heir, do what God's put you in the field to do. But then I thought, and I'm done this morning. I thought at God's table, there's always plenty to go around. I thought yesterday, and I know that we just asked them, you know, and they brought more. But there's several occasions that the plates got empty, and we had to ask for more. I'm glad every time I've ever been at his table, ain't no plate ever got empty. He always has enough. Oh, I believe there's a desire inside a child of God that'll leave you asking for more. I believe that's right. If you ever get a good taste and a good touch from yonder's world, it'll leave you wanting more. I mean, there ain't no doubt about it. But I'm glad when we come to his table, I never have heard a child of God say, I'd like to have something, Lord, and him say, I'm sorry, I'm out today. There's one day out on the hillside, and I know technically the word table is not in there, but he made a table. And there's out on the hillside one day, and there's 5,000 men besides women and children following him. And the disciples said, Lord, send them away so they can buy bread to eat. And the Lord said, you give them to eat. One of them said, well, 200 penny worth of bread be enough that they may all just have a little? And the Lord said, well, what do you have? They said, well, we found a boy here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, Lord, but what are they among so many? He said, bring them to me. And the Bible said he commanded them to sit down by companies on the grass. He said, what was he doing? He was setting them at the table because he was getting ready to feed them. And the Bible said he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and them to the people as much as they would. And the scripture said, when they all were filled, he said, take up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And they gathered 12 baskets full after everybody was satisfied. He said, what is it, preacher? There's always plenty at his table. You say, but you don't know where I am. Well, he furnished a table in the wilderness for the people of God. They questioned, said, can God furnish us a table in the wilderness? And God answered, not just telling them, but he showed them. He sent manna from heaven, gave water out of a rock, blew quail in with a south wind. He gave them a table in the wilderness. And it don't matter this morning where you are. It don't matter how dry it may be, how desert-like it may be in your life. It don't matter how long it's been since you've been at the table. I'm glad there's a place for you. See, that amazing thing was David gave Mephibosheth a place. Nobody else could sit at his place. His place was never given to another. It was always Mephibosheth's place. And I'm going to tell you, when you got born again, you got a place at the table. I've not always been there like I ought to be. I've not always found myself there when I should have. But I'm glad for my place. I'm glad it's still there. You may be here this morning and say, preacher, it's been a day or two since I feel like I've been fed. Been a day or two since I feel like I've fellowship with him. Been a day or two since I feel like he's let me find out a little bit more about where he is and who he is and what he can do. You still got a place at the table. If you're saved by his grace, there's a place for you at his table. Oh, I'm glad for the days around the table of God. What a blessed place to be. When we realize it's nothing of our own doing. I didn't get myself there. I don't keep myself there. but it's all Him. He's the one that put me there. He's the one that brings me there. He's the one that keeps me there. He's the one that feeds me there. It's His table. It's all about Him. I'm just glad to have a place. I thought last night, I don't know how many others were at the king's table along with Mephibosheth. I don't know how many sat around the table. I don't know how loud it got. I know Mephibosheth, flesh and blood, just like you and I are. And I wonder if maybe there's days at the table he felt like maybe somebody else or everybody else was getting all the king's attention and he wasn't getting none. But I'm glad the king knew when he needed to speak to Mephibosheth. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I've been there. And you have too, and you may be there this morning. Feel like maybe everybody else's life's going okay. Everybody else seems to be in the king's favor, and you're just a sitting there in your place. And you sure would like to hear from him. He knows where you are. He knows when to speak. He knows what to speak. He knows when to fellowship with you. He's got all the time in the world. I think so many times, and I've mentioned, I don't know how many times in this pulpit, about that service that I was in at Sullins Branch Baptist Church when Brother Tim Rutherford, and he's gone on to be with the Lord now, was singing in the pulpit about He loves me like I was His only child. And he got to that part where it said, you asked me how He divides His time. And it says, well, I tell you, I never have to stand in line. And he made that statement or sung that statement. And it's like a back door of the church flew open and he come in the room. You say, what happened, preacher? He was dividing his time among his people, sitting down at the table with them. Yeah. Maybe it's been a day or two since you felt his presence at the table, since you've heard his voice at the table. You've went there and thought, Lord, I need to be fed. I need some fellowship. And maybe it just ain't happened like it has in days gone by. He knows where you are. Just come back to the table again. Don't leave the table. Don't go away. There He is. Nowhere else to go. That's what Boaz was saying to Ruth. Don't go anywhere else. It's the best here if you'll just stay here. I'm glad this morning for a place at the king's table. Not by any merit I've done, but by His grace and by His love and mercy, I'm there this morning. I'm glad for the times I've been fed from His hand. Glad for the times I've fellowship with Him and commune with Him. Glad for the times I've found out a little bit more about who He is and what He can do. I'm glad for the experiences at the table with the King. Father, I thank You, Lord, this morning for the privilege and the opportunity to have been able to be in Your house.